The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air. Glad that you two people came to me to talk this matter over.
Well, we're glad, Dr. Thorndyke, that there is someone we can talk with before we go to see Uncle Hanson.
I'm really all against going up to his old house. Marion feels it's because it was her father's last request before he died that she see him. Well, we decided to make the trip.
I understand.
We might as well tell Dr. Thorndyke the truth, Douglas. My father also said that Uncle Hanson has a great deal of money. He felt that it should be left to Douglas and me.
You were the only rightful heir.
Dad said that if Uncle Hanson knew us, got acquainted with us, he might come to his senses and leave some of it to us.
You make it sound awfully mercenary, Merrill.
Well, it should belong to me. Uncle Hanson cheated my father out of part of the estate.
Yes, I remember. You see, Mr. Randall, your wife's uncle and I went to medical school together.
So Marion told me.
Then, when we planned to leave New York and come to see him, I thought it best that we write to you first and find out about Uncle Hanson.
I'm glad you did.
Marion wrote to her uncle and never heard from him.
Mm. I'm not surprised.
So, here we are in Warwick. And, Dr. Thorndyke, you said in your letter that Uncle Hanson was very queer. That you wouldn't advise us to stay at his house.
True.
So, before we go there, Douglas thought you should explain to us.
Just what is wrong with him, Dr. Thorndyke?
Well, first of all, no one in Warwick ever goes to see him. Second, he lives in an old, bleak house that in itself has a grim past.
Oh.
Now, you may think I'm the one who is queer when I tell you this, but there is scarcely a person here who doesn't believe that the house is haunted.
Some old superstition.
Yes. But as far as I can see, it must have some truth to it.
And Uncle Hanson lives there all alone?
No. An old servant, a shy, crafty, almost demented-looking fellow lives there with him. I don't want to frighten you unnecessarily, but 2 years ago, I made a visit at the old house.
You saw Uncle Hanson?
Yes, at his request. You see, while your uncle and I were studying in medical school together, he had begun to show signs of strangeness.
Yes?
He was experimenting with a strange theory. He believed that he could recall from the dead the soul of some individual, and that the soul he recalled could return to the body of some person living in the present.
Merciful heaven.
Terrible, isn't it?
Man must have been crazy then.
Oh, he was very serious about it.
But why work on such an inhuman theory?
Because he felt that to return a soul from the dead was the only way of perpetuating life. If he could recall from the dead a soul that had passed beyond before its time, and could get it to live in another body, then the person could go on living.
Preposterous.
He claimed that someday he would prove it. He claimed that he himself would never die, for he would get some dead soul to occupy his body. And this way he might retain perpetual life.
It's all pretty awful and muddled.
To think that such a crazy man was my father's brother.
As I started to tell you, 2 years ago, his old servant brought me a letter asking me to come that particular evening and see Dr. Hanson. I drove over to his house that night, walked the door, rang the bell.
Yes?
It's Dr. Thorndyke.
I see. Come in.
Hmm. keep it dark in here. I can't see where I'm going.
The doctor needs it dark for his work. We don't care for the light.
Will you tell Dr. Hansen that I'm here?
He expects you. You can follow me up these stairs.
All right. Can we have a light to see by?
Your eyes will grow accustomed to the darkness like mine do.
What was that sound?
Did you hear it?
I only heard it, but I felt as if some icy hand had reached out and touched my face, almost clawed at me. There. I felt it again. Something touched my face again. Hello, Philip.
So you came, Thorndyke?
Yes.
I sent for you to prove my theory to you, Dr. Thorndyke.
Yes, Philip.
And don't look at me as if you thought I was demented. I'm not crazy.
I never thought you were demented. Only obsessed.
Dr. Thorndyke was visited by one of the wandering spirits on the way upstairs.
Really?
Something cold brushed against my face, if that's what you mean.
The spirits that rule this house were trying to be kind to you. Trying to get into your body. Trying to give you new life. You're lucky.
So, you're still working on that old theory, are you?
Working? I have it practically complete.
Now listen, Philip, if this is what you call me over tonight for, I can't stay and listen. I have calls to make.
You always scoffed at me, didn't you? Never believed I could do it.
Why would you want to do it, Philip?
I have found a young soul that died too soon. The spirit of a man who was stabbed by his own wife.
What do you mean?
In this very house. Yes, he lived here. We know. Don't we know, Thread?
Yes, we know.
A young man who was stabbed by his wife. She went to prison for it.
I remember the story.
But about the spirit of that man, I'm able to recall. You did not know.
Philip, this is nonsense.
I'm about ready to call that spirit forth and get it to take abode in my body.
Philip Hansen, I won't stay here and listen to such balderdash.
You know what it will mean to me? I shall never die. Never. For once I've recalled one spirit to come and live in my body, I can recall others.
I'm leaving.
Wait, not yet. I shall never die. I shall have years and years to use my money. No one will be able to take it from me. It shall be mine for years to come, long after you are dead.
I have no desire to live beyond my time, Philip.
But I have.
I'm going.
Now wait. I shall show you my experiment. Then you can go if you wish.
What do you have cooking in that kettle? And in these test tubes?
The essence of spirits. Turn down all the lights, Thrill.
Yes, sir.
Now I shall pass my body through the fumes coming from the steaming kettle. I shall put the fumes all about myself. Watch. And make no sound. Now.
There is something moving there in the darkness. I see it.
Quiet.
Where's the door? Let me out of here. I shan't stay another minute. Let me out of here. Get away from me, whatever you are. Get away. Where's the door? I've got to get away. Got to get away. Get away from here. Get away. Away!
From the house, frightened by the strange, weird things he has seen. Dr. Hansen is able to make a dead spirit return? Or is it something he and his demented servant has conjured up to frighten people away? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Well, when it comes to frightening people, I'm not very good, but I'm a whiz at encouraging them, and that's what I hope I've done for you. I hope I've encouraged you to be better soldiers on the home front with these little lectures on how to save Olga Kohl and to cooperate with your friend, the Olga Kohl dealer. Suppose we look at the situation this way. We'd all like to do more to help win the war, so suppose we imagine we're all soldiers and the Olga Kohl dealer is the supply sergeant. Well, he's in it along with the rest of us, and he can't give out any more coal than he gets. All he wants to do is equip your coal bin to the best of his ability, and that's what he's doing. He gets gripes from every side, but he's delivering the coal as fast as he gets it, and he's trying to do so in a way that gives everyone his fair share. So don't be too hard on your Olga sergeant, folks. I know none of you envy him, and I know he wants to keep on serving you after the war is won in the manner to which you once were accustomed. So as you sit with your sweaters on and look at that thinly lined coal bin, think of the day when it will all be over. And you can once more take phone in hand and say, I want a whole bin full of that good Olga coal. That's right, the kind spelled O-L-G-A. Well, come on in, Hermit. You haven't even been here, and we've been telling ourselves stories.
And now to Marion and Randall. Dr. Thorndike of the town of Wohag goes on telling the story of Marion's strange Uncle Hansen. Yeah. Listen.
I'm sure I ran out of that house yelling, I've got to get away.
Oh, how horrible.
Man is positively crazy.
That's what I thought. But he did conjure up something. I saw it.
It's unbelievable.
I know it is. That's why I hated to tell the authorities. But I finally did ask them to go up there and investigate.
What did they say?
They saw him in the afternoon. They said he was sitting downstairs reading and acted perfectly normal.
What do you think?
For the reporter that he was perfectly harmless. Merely a wealthy, eccentric old man who makes a study of dead spirits.
Why didn't you ever write my father of your visit?
You can see how impossible it sounds.
Yes, of course.
The more I thought about it, the more like a bad dream it seemed to be. I began to feel as if I was the crazy one.
Dr. Thorndike, have you seen my uncle since?
No, not since.
Do you think he would harm us, Doc?
No, I think his mind is weak. But I think he's harmless.
If we went to see him in the daytime, there'd be no danger, would there?
I don't think so. But I thought you ought to know my story first.
Marion, you don't want to go up to the house after hearing Dr. Thorndike's story.
If Dr. Thorndike thinks he's harmless, then to pay him a visit wouldn't be dangerous.
It's up to you, Marion.
I think we'll go. Tomorrow. And thank you, Dr. Thorndike, for telling us your story.
Perhaps it's all over now. It may be it was only shadows. Natural shadows and natural sounds that I heard and saw in that old house. Yet it was such a weird experience. I shall never forget it.
Are you nearly ready to go down to dinner, Douglas?
Yes, dear. Just fixing my tie.
You know, the more I think about it, the more it seems as if it's Dr. Thorndike who's demented.
I know it.
We've been visiting here 3 days at Uncle Hampton's, and I haven't seen him do one strange thing.
Only this creaky old house gives me the jitters in the night.
Oh, it's like all old houses.
I could have sworn someone opened our door in the night and crept in.
It's the story Thorndike told. We're too much on our guard. Everything has a double meaning to us now.
Maybe you're right.
Sure I am. And Uncle Hansen has been awfully kind to us and so pleased to see us.
Uh-huh.
Even this old servant of his isn't bad. He's been kind, too.
He cooks good meals for an old duffer, doesn't he?
Yes. And do you know what he said to me, Douglas?
What?
Well, he told me yesterday that Uncle Hansen was so glad we came to see him. So glad that you and I were sensible.
Uh-huh.
And that now he could die peacefully, knowing that we wouldn't waste his money for him.
Well, it's all turning out better than I anticipated.
Hmm? You ready to go down to dinner?
All ready.
He still works in his laboratory long hours, doesn't he?
Yes.
I asked him last night to let me see it, and he said perhaps he might tonight.
Why do you want to go up there?
Oh, just to see what he does. You can see that he's completely forgotten trying to restore dead spirits. I'm not afraid of him, honey.
I guess you're right.
So, I just want to see what he does do up there in that room. Maybe we can tonight.
Listen. What was that? Marion, wake up. I thought I heard our door creak open.
What, Doug?
Sure as anything, I thought I heard our door creak open.
I was asleep. I didn't hear anything.
If there were only electric lights in this house. Where's that darn candle?
There was one on the bedside table.
I can't find a thing groping around in this dark.
You've got yourself upset from visiting Uncle's laboratory. But he did have the most queer-looking gadgets up there, didn't he?
Yes. Now, if I can only find a match. Darn it. Where did that wind come from? It blew the light right out.
Oh, why don't you forget it? You just heard some board creak. There isn't anything in here. Oh,
darn funny creaks.
It's strange how you're more upset than I am.
I'd just as soon move out any time, I can tell you.
I'm not frightened anymore. Good night, dear.
Good night. What was that sound? Marion. Something cold passed over my throat. Marion.
Douglas, what is it?
Get away from me. Marion.
Douglas. There's something standing right over you. I can see it. Douglas. Oh, help.
Help. Don't move. This won't take long.
Oh, it's Thrale. Thrale, what are you doing? Get away. Get away from here.
Leave me alone if you know what's good for you.
Get out of our room. I'm going to call my uncle.
Get his hands off my throat. Get them off my throat. Help.
Uncle Hanson. Help. Help.
Let go of me.
Stop. We won't need the dead spirit of Mr. Randall. The other one has come back.
The other one has come back?
Yes. Come. All of you to my laboratory. I captured the spirit trail as it wandered about the house tonight. It's hidden in my laboratory.
That is good.
If my experiment works, Trail, then it may be we can get a young spirit for you. Then you can live on, too.
Oh, Douglas.
Now, all is dark in here. Very dark. Only the fumes from my kettle. That is all.
If anyone speaks and frightens the spirit away, we'll make away with him.
Oh, Douglas, they're both crazy.
Quiet, both of you. So you thought you could get my money, did you? You thought I was going to die. No, I shall live many, many years.
Here's the kettle, Doctor.
Yes. And now the dagger that we found in this house. The dagger that was used to kill the dead spirit lurking in this room. Bring it to me. I'll stir the kettle with it.
Here it is, Doctor.
Yes, yes. Now all very quiet. Very dark. Very still. And the fumes are rising. Rising. See? They cover me. Now, spirit, dead soul, wherever you are, come out. Come out. Spirit is here. Can you hear his voice? It's getting lighter. Can you see?
Look. Oh, over there. A shadow is taking form. Look.
There is some light. It is approaching me. Look. It is coming near me.
Yes, I am coming closer. Closer.
I see him. Look.
It's going right up to Uncle Hanson.
You wanted to call me back. Well, I am here. And I shall enter your body. Just as you wish.
Hi. Dr. Hanson. I'm disappearing. Merciful heavens. What's happening?
Look, see. Before you stands another man. He's done it. He's no longer Dr. Hanson. The spirit has entered his body.
I'm back again. See this dagger in my hand. I'm back again. So you thought my wife killed me long ago, did you? Well, she didn't. I killed myself.
Oh, look.
I tried to kill her just as I'm going to kill you, Thrale.
No. No, no.
Yes, just as I'm going to kill you now.
Have mercy. Hey, Dr. Hanson, come back. Take the spirit out of your body. He's going to kill me. Help! Help!
You wanted to bring me back, didn't you?
Save me. Save me. Help!
Mary,
help!
Don't move. Stand right where we are. I'll see if I can save him.
Help me.
Thrale. Here, this way. Here. Now, stand back of me, out of the way.
Look.
I couldn't kill my wife long years ago. And I can't kill you. But I can kill myself again. Yes.
What is he doing?
You brought me back into your body, Dr. Hanson, only so that I might kill myself again. Now the dagger's through my heart.
He's killed himself.
Here, let me light a candle so that I can see. Where's the candle?
Here, Douglas.
There.
Oh, it's Uncle Hanson. Look, he's on the floor, dead. The dagger through his heart.
Yes, the spirit returned and did the same act that it did when it was living. We didn't count on that.
But, Douglas, it's only Uncle Hanson here. Killed himself, and he tried to kill his servant.
But we did hear another voice, didn't we?
Of course you did. It was the spirit that wanders this house. And that Dr. Hanson tried to get into his own body.
Oh, it's so terrible.
But it didn't work. It didn't work like he thought. The spirit came back. And did the same deed all over.
Wanted it to, and entered his body. But it killed, just as it had when it was on Earth before. Yes. Turn on your lights. Turn them on.
You have just listened to the 406th story by the Hermit, made possible through the courtesy of the Carter Coal Company, producer of Olga Coal, and your friend, the Olga Coal Dealer. That word friend is full of meaning for you these days. The dictionary defines it as one who entertains for another such sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection that he seeks his society and welfare. Now, isn't that just about a perfect definition of the man who looks after your coal needs? I don't really have to tell you that you can trust your Olga dealer to look out for your interests. You know he appreciates your patronage and wants to keep you on his side. Sure, I know, nowadays he can't always give you as much coal as you'd like, as promptly as you'd like it. He can't always even give you the kind of coal you'd like or the size you'd prefer. But you can count on him to do his best. In these war days, that's all anyone can do. So don't shop around for coal. That does no good, just causes a lot of confusion. And above all, don't get panicky about deliveries. After all, these shortages are never as bad as you think they'll be. You're still eating and wearing shoes and clothing, aren't you, in spite of what you've heard? Well, the chances are you'll not freeze either. And remember the reason for all the shortages. What you don't get is going to help those boys of yours and ours at the fighting fronts. By saving every bit of coal you can, you're doing your part on the home front. And remember, when you do order coal, ask for Olga Coal, spelled O-L-G-A, by name. Olga Coal is a good buy because of its smokeless, dustless, economical qualities, so keep on asking for it. And keep on buying war stamps and bonds till it hurts the enemy so badly he'll throw up his hands and surrender. Buying war stamps and bonds is one way that everyone can help win the war, regardless of age, health, means, or occupation. Every penny you citizens of the United States and Canada put into war stamps and bonds weighs the balance that much further in our favor against the Japs and Nazis. Buy war stamps and bonds, and don't stop until the enemy gives up.
Stories for you. Listen in again next week for my hounds howling. I'll tell you the story of the devil dog. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental. Jack Lellman speaking.